The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Wait, 2002?
2002, they had a pair of 1,000-yard receivers with Drew Bledsoe.
So is Peerless Price one of them?
All over the place. Peerless Price.
Peerless Price.
Pete's even more surprised than I am that you got
man,
that one.
Up yours, Pete.
Oh, man, my favorite words to start a podcast right there. Up yours, Pete. Yeah. I love that. That sounds good. It's got a good ring to it. Paulie Burmeister back today.
Yes.
Man, thanks for coming back because I had to host my own show on Monday. Whoa.
I've been Ooh. Anxious to ask okay. you how that went.
Yeah,
because that's not easy.
It's not easy. I mean, hosting a show is not exactly in my wheelhouse to begin with, let alone you know me and can I pull up the teams? Can I look at the notes?
Right?
I'm trying to host the show and waiting for that dead moment so I can like, okay, wait, this is what I want to say. Man, that was hard. That was very hard. So
the hosting part of it was harder than the analyzing part of it.
No, I'm always good, but it affected my analyzing too.
Right.
Because I came away going, damn, there's like two or three things I missed I wanted to say about this because I was worried about involving my dad in the conversation and
right.
all that crap. So I'm glad we got a head coach here so I can just go back to playing quarterback because I can't do both, all right? I'm glad, and that means when Paulie B's back, QB Jeopardy's back, and that's one more chance for me to make Pete shut the fuck up because he doesn't think I'm going to get any today.
Pete's nervous that you might not get one.
Right.
Pete texted me, he said, I wouldn't get one of these. I said Vegas has the over-under two out of five.
Listen, I like Pete. He's very smart. He's smarter than me in all areas as a human.
Is he?
Football, he is not. Okay? So when he says he wouldn't get any of them, I feel like that means I get at least three. That's what I feel like.
Just as a little tease for what's coming, the college football playoff edition.
Okay.
Quarterback Jeopardy. So all the questions and answers have to do with the four teams playing in the college football playoff
okay,
coming up here
good.
At the end of the week.
All right, good. It's going to be pro players infused in there. Or are we going to be talking about only college kids here?
Let's see. At least one of them is just a college angle.
Okay.
I think the rest of them, it's all NFL.
All right. Yeah. I'll be okay.
Hey, it'll be more than fine.
It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned, and it's presented to you by Verizon. I'd love to get that in. It makes me feel so much more professional and big time when I say that.
And that's the hosting part of the show you do very well. You always get in the Verizon point.
I'm good at that. I know who pays the bills.
So What the Fuck Wednesday is usually about what happened
right.
the week before. But
right.
since the time of year we're in and how important it is the last week of the regular season,
yeah.
this is now a What Will Happen Wednesday. Am I understanding this correctly?
We are, yeah. Of course, because we have some repeat matchups going in, you know, to week 17 that, of course, are going to determine the playoffs and everything that goes down there. So I went back and watched the Rams versus the Cardinals from a few weeks ago. You know, went back and watched Philadelphia. I didn't watch that one. All right, so that's one matchup I didn't because it was the first game of the year, and I don't think there's any correlation for me to bring up there. Browns-Steelers, went back and watched it. Giants, who am I missing? Giants-Cowboys. Again, that was early this year, but there's a few things. I wanted to check out the matchup in general,
mm-hmm.
and I think we'll be able to bring out a few things from that matchup as well. And am I missing one more? I think I am, but I can't remember.
Did you say
Packers-Chicago?
There
right.
you go.
And that was not too long ago either. And I
right.
think there's some good talking points there either way for at least things that concerned me about the matchup the first time and we'll hit on things where I think, ooh, this team should be able to do this, or did this the first game and didn't do it enough and they need to do it more, and maybe we'll have different results. So we'll get into a little bit of all that.
And every single one of the games, obviously this time of the year on Sunday, are repeats, but we've picked out the five that have real significance
yes.
for the postseason.
Right.
Teams that have to win and get in or claim a certain seed. So that's why we pick these games. So should yes. we start in the NFC North?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's begin Packers and the Bears. Week 12, they played the first time not very long ago. Green Bay won 41-25. It's kind of a misleading score, isn't it? I mean, it was 41-10, I
yeah.
think, at some point in the fourth quarter. Packers blew them out. Bears were never really in this one at all. So I see huge changes to the Bears offense since that game. So let's start with that. The Bears offense against the Packers defense. What might be different? What matters from what we saw about a month ago?
Yeah, well, I think this is the first thing we say. That was the first game they started to break out this new offense a little bit, where you saw it. You know, it was a game on Sunday Night Football where I went, ooh, I have a few different formations and personnel sets. Whoa, okay, I like what, you know, Bill Lazor is infusing here to the offense. Now, it wasn't smooth and perfect, but we saw the start of what they are now. And what they are now, right now, is a run and bootleg team.
Right.
That's all they want to do.
From under center.
Under center. Exactly right. A few sprinkled in from the shotgun here and there. But that's where they are. And because that's what Trubisky is best at. It's given them a little identity that way. They weren't quite there yet in the Green Bay game. They were still in, hey, we'd like to do this new approach, but we're not sure how good we are at it yet. So we're still going to do some of our shotgun, you know, Kansas City type of stuff that didn't fit them well. But I think the encouraging thing is, first drive of the game, they break a big run, they get down there. Listen, should have scored a touchdown. Cole Kmet had a ball in his
That's
hands.
Right.
He turns up, gets hit right at the 1 yard line, they call it an incomplete pass. Should have been a touchdown there. You know, second drive of the game, okay, that's where now they have the play action pass and he throws the dumb throw, like, because it was probably open all week in practice. He takes a shot into a coverage where you just go, man, he's not open. And no point was he open. Just because he was open all day, all week in practice, don't do
right.
that. No. So, to me, this is going to be a different – this is a hard one for me to give you too many angles altogether as far as, you know, what Green Bay should do to adjust, because we didn't see the total Chicago offense that we see right now. But I will just say, nonetheless – what the Packers saw that first game, at least on the defensive side of the ball, the Packers defense, you know, this is a totally different attack. And it's a totally different football team with a quarterback with a totally different mindset. You have to respect the run game for the Chicago Bears right now. At that point then, they did not have to.
Right.
And we've also, you know, seen this formula be successful with Green Bay. You know, Green Bay, I'm still – run defense, I know it was pretty good last week.
Real good.
It was real good. You're right. Derrick Henry and company did a pretty good job shutting that down. But we've seen, you know, Minnesota be able to move the ball on Green Bay with the boots and the running package. That's all they do, too. So we'll see how this plays out. I do think Green Bay's defense has been better as of late. That is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I have any overarching thing on this side of the ball to go, ooh, Green Bay needs to change this or do that. The biggest thing for Green Bay is just going to be able to, yeah, stop the run games and mm-hmm. the boots. Don't be afraid to have Jair Alexander and some of those on some islands every now and then, just so you can have an extra guy for the guy who sneaks out of the backfield in the bootleg, or a guy that is running the crossing route off the bootleg, and you're not fooled by it to where you can add extra guys in there. But that, to me, is really the only takeaway I can really take from that side of the ball.
And I should have pointed this out yeah. at the top before we got into the specifics, but for Chicago, they are in the playoffs
right.
With a win or with the Cardinals' loss. Green Bay, they've already clinched the NFC North. They can lock down that number one spot if they win. So as for this Bears offense, you gave us a good intro there, what they're doing better to look a little different.
Right.
The numbers are so much different. Four games in a row with 30 points or more. They've won three games in a row. So you've talked about the play action. You've talked about the more running. Trubisky's more efficient. If you're the coordinator, okay, if you're Mike Pettine, you're up on the board and you say, guys, we've got to stop this. The Bears offense is better than it was a month ago because of this. What is that one thing?
I think it's the bootlegs. Just plain and simple, stop the bootlegs. I'd be more worried about that than the run game at first. I'm not sold that this is a great run game or an overpowering offensive line. It's good. Montgomery fits this style of play a lot more than the shotgun spread approach. That's for sure. And But to me, the bootleg has been the big difference. Trubisky is comfortable throwing the ball on the run. It also gives him the option to tuck it and run it. We saw him do that last week, too, on a roll, a bootleg to his right. Okay, nothing was there. Runs it in for a touchdown. I would go on, I'm going to stop that first. That would be my two cents. Because I'd be a little bit more of, I'm worried about that and the aspect of what you can do off of that. And I would be more in the prove to me you can run the football first. I'm gonna might play some run stopping defenses, but mm-hmm. We're expecting boot. And I wouldn't be too fast flow to stop the run quite at first, at least to start the game.
Yeah, David Montgomery, 55 carries the last two games. Went back through it. Usually had to hit a four-game stretch throughout the season to get him to that 55 number. So they are leaning on it
definitely
a little more. But you're more worried about the boot than the run. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do with Allen Robinson? Because he's been very good, but there's nobody else passing-wise, pass-catching-wise for the Bears even close to his production.
No, he's the best guy they got. He's the best player on their offense. I mean, I think it's fair to say that. Now, they do. Green Bay's got a guy in Jaire Alexander who's in the top cornerback conversation at all of football.
You just put him on Robinson?
I think at times, yes, you know, and there'll be times where, you know, they're not an overly aggressive man team. They play man, Green Bay, but they'll find their ways to play zones and cheat him out of that way, too. But I don't know if anything garners quite yet of, like, we got to double this guy or do that. You know, yeah, they're going to try to get him the ball off of really basic plays, but they just put him in the spot to go, this is the number one read, Allen Robinson, and all of that. I don't think that's going to be like, oh, we got to double him to take him away. I don't think we've gotten to that point quite yet. But either way, you got to be aware of where he lines up all the time. And where Chicago has changed to me, you talked about the Montgomery thing, the underneath the center thing. It's more two tight end sets. They put you in more binds and personnel now because, two, both those tight ends, yeah, they can block. Jimmy Graham not great at it, but still a big body. And then the next play, they could be spread out in the empty set with the same people. And now you're in base defense because you were worried about them running with two big tight ends. And now you're going, wait, now our base linebackers are having to play coverage, maybe against receivers or tight ends, and you're at a little bit of a disadvantage there.
You made the mention of the Packers' defense as we shift to them a little bit, what might be different than it was a month ago in the first matchup between the Packers and Bears. Dalvin Cook with the Vikings against them. Since he ran wild back in week 8, Green Bay's won 7 out of 8 games.
Right.
They've only allowed about an average of 20 points per game. So they learned something from that game and are playing at a better level defensively.
Yes.
What is different about what they're doing?
I don't know if they've definitely been more stout up front. I think they've kind of figured out what they want to do at the linebacker position. Their secondary is what's special to me. That allows them a lot of freedom to do some different things with their front 7. And you know, I think the addition of Rashawn Gary into the lineup more, you know, just giving an offense a few different looks would probably be the biggest thing I would say there for Green Bay overall. But I think the other thing is this, too. You know, other than last week, and again, I think the circumstances of the game favored them a little bit with the snow and all that. They didn't play too many great offenses leading up into that to where, okay, I got to worry about this. Now, I know they played well last week. I get that. And A.J. Dillon has improved their football team on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know what it is about Green Bay's defense, though. I just still question it. I do. But it has been playing better. But I just don't know if it's against anything special for me to sit here and go, oh, I feel so much better about it going into the playoffs.
Here's a question from Twitter about the Packers' run defense. Jacob Woolsey asks, I noticed Green Bay using a 5-man front to stop the run. What's the key for the Bears to succeed against it?
Yeah, well, you know, that type of thing, 5-man front, you know, that, again, will get into the play-action boot game. You're going to overplay your hand there with people at the line of scrimmage and doing that. That goes into some of the Rashawn Gary stuff we've seen, these 5-man fronts they're doing. You know, it's going to be about that. And then just finding one or two runs that you feel schematically good about and blocking those fronts. You know, everybody has their own little approach where, you know, when I played for John Gruden, if it was a 5-man front, we had these two or three runs we loved. But then when I went to Josh McDaniels, he might have had one of those runs in it, but he liked two or three other runs that he felt like were great against the Bear front, the 5-man front. So it's about finding that, but I still think ultimately when it comes down to Trubisky and the Bears, it's all about that play action and boots.
Okay, other side, when it comes down to Aaron Rodgers and the offense, just absolutely rolling.
Yeah.
Passing game, now the running game too with A.J. Dillon is back. again, we are kind of starting these conversations comparing to what happened in the first matchup a month ago.
Right.
What jumps out to you about what has changed, Packers offense, Bears defense?
Well, I don't know if anything's changed with the Packers offense. You know, that I can't sit here and look at anything and go, other than that, they're playing better now than they were then, which is scary for the Bears because they got blown the fuck off the field that game. I mean, there's no doubt. What's different about the Packers now, too, which is a little discouraging if you're the Bears, is the Packers are actually better at running the football now than they were then. You know, they had a good night against Chicago that night. Don't get me wrong. There's no doubt. I mean, they made a lot of big plays in the running game. But the last few weeks, they've run the ball, like, against everybody and even in plays and in times where you know they're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
And so, to me, they're starting to truly overpower teams in the run game where I go, well, this team knows they're going to run it, and they're still getting 6 yards. Like, that's where I think they've improved, where before I would have been like, teams are always worried about the pass and Rodgers, and then when you play an overly pass-protective defense, that's when he gets a run, and that's how they gash you. I was never sold that the running game was a dominant force for the Packers, really until the last few weeks, to where I went, uh-oh, it's a real force. And that's a problem for Chicago. It's a problem. Chicago's run defense has not been great. They've been getting pushed around in the middle of their defense a lot. You know, they went through a stretch where Akeem Hicks wasn't 100%. He was just getting back into flow here in that first Green Bay matchup. You know, the one thing I wrote in my notes that we haven't talked about enough all year is, you know, the fact that they lost Eddie Goldman was huge. It has hurt their football team, no doubt about it. They are truly compromised here in this football game. With what do you stop? What do you do? They're in no advantage in either way here.
Even though the run game was really good the other night against Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch Dylan run that way.
Yeah.
Don't you still have to start your number one worry every day of the week with Aaron Rodgers?
Or no? I don't know if I feel that way with this. And it's no disrespect to Aaron Rodgers or anything like that, but just truly from my football analyzing and all of that, you know, one thing is the Packers in that first matchup, LaFleur took the run game stuff that McVay did to the Bears a few weeks before that. That's all he did. The Bears had no answer in the Rams game or the Packers game for the fake the speed sweep run game. They can't figure it out. They can't play the right defense, and they get gashed on it consistently. They're going to have to adjust to that, all right, let alone the rest of the run game. And one of the things I wrote in my notes, and I think you have it, but here, just this is straight out of my mouth into my pen, okay? Bears run D gonna have to change in this game. They got pushed around the first game. They will get pushed around again if they don't change.
What change do you want to see?
Packers run game better now. I would play stop the run football first and take my chances versus Rodgers in the pass game. Doesn't that sound insane?
That sounds crazy.
It sounds insane.
Yeah.
But if you start letting them run, you got no chance of stopping Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be play action, bombs, and bootlegs, and he is going to fuck you up every play. So you got to stop something. And to me, I would err on stop the run because the Packers' pass offense is really good. You know that. I'm not trying.
Mm-hmm, right.
But schematically, I don't think it's tricky. Like, I don't think it's one of the hardest to break down in football. They're really good at executing. This is what we do in this set. When you play this defense, we run this play. When you play this defense, we run that play. And I would err on more on I'm going to try to take Devontae, you know, I'm going to take the run game away. We know Devontae Adams is there, but I'm going to take my chances with Fuller on him one-on-one and go that way. Because I think if they let the run game go off, I just think they have no chance. That's all. But listen, neither one's a great formula.
Right, right. See,
that's why you're shaking your head. You're like,
are
you really like her? But you can't partially stop both.
Yeah.
Because then you won't stop anything, and it's going to be a free flow.
Right.
So you got to pick one of them, and you're going to have to roll the dices. Hey, you want to be a playoff team? You know, you got to put it on the line every now and then and do something like that. And I think that's what it'll take this week, oddly enough. I can't believe I'm saying that either.
I couldn't either. I mean, listening to you talk about it, I understand what you're saying. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to go nuts anyway. If you focus on the run first.
It's going to go really nuts. We've seen teams the last few weeks who can slow down the pass game. You know, it's not that it's like stopped, but it's not like explosive, huge plays all over. It's still extremely efficient.
They've limited it a little bit.
Exactly, a little bit. Yeah. I think you have a better chance right now if you're Chicago limiting that than I do the run. Okay, so, that's all I'm trying to say.
I got you. Yeah. And this question here from Twitter just kind of builds upon that, thinking about how the Bears might specifically defend, what kind of scheme they might use. At Poplar Bourne says, hey, gents, huge fan of the pod from London. My question is, do you think Chuck Pagano will be far more aggressive and blitz more this week? And is this the correct thing to do against the Packers? Thanks and Happy New Year. I want to point out the Titans were pretty aggressive with the blitz as well against Aaron. Didn't really work very well.
No, I would say that the Bears' secondary is better, though, for sure. That's one advantage they have across the board. The Titans' secondary, I mean, we know it's not very good at all. So, but I would think the biggest difference between game one and what we got to see this week is more run-stopping fronts. They have to. Whether that's Bear or just five-man fronts across the board and stopping it that way. And also within those fronts, you know, you're stopping the run. That they can stop the bootleg game a little too, just slow it down. So I would think that makes the most sense because, you know, with no Eddie Goldman in there, you know, we know Akeem Hicks is a beast, yes, but after that, there's just not a lot of guys on the Chicago defense that can slow stuff down in the middle of that defense. And I'm worried if they don't put enough eggs into that basket that they're going to get a steady dose of Dylan and Aaron Jones, and they're just going to get completely dominated. And then that's when it leads to play action. Oh, there goes Marquez Valdes-Scantling on a corner post corner for a 60-yard touchdown or a post corner post for a 60-yard. And that to me, is you have no chance.
Have you changed the title of the O Aaron Rodgers song to O Green Bay Running Game?
No, they'll never do that, okay?
That won't happen.
Well, no, definitely not. And the thing I'll say with Rodgers, what he proved to me in the Carolina game, I think I told you this last week, if you play defenses to stop the pass, he will run the ball. He wants to win a Super Bowl this year. He's not going to worry about his passing numbers or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think he has shown throughout the year patience to run the ball if you give him those looks to where you better be careful because they're rolling right now in their run game.
Two side notes just about the quarterbacks here before we move on to the next game. First of all, about Aaron Rodgers, 44 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's at 70%. This takes me back to early in the year. I think it was in preseason. He made some kind of comment that people jumped on. He said, hey, I've had years, it would be career years for other quarterbacks that are just kind of average for me. This isn't even his best statistical year.
No, was that 44-5,
70%?
2011?
Yeah. Right. So, this isn't even his best one.
No.
It's insane.
It's insane.
So just to point that out, some fun with numbers. Other side, Mitch Trubisky, these last couple weeks, especially this last week, as I'm reading about Chicago, 3-game win streak, winning there in the playoffs, passing game's a lot better.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with this game, but for the Bears and Mitch Trubisky, do you think it's warranted his play? Are you thinking differently about the future of quarterback in this team?
Definitely, I am. I went on the Bears, you know, and NBC Chicago last week, and I just said, listen, you guys are going to win last week. You're going to win that game, and you know, there's a chance you could beat Green Bay. I didn't know if Green Bay was going to have to play Week 17 or not, you know, at that point. Right. But I just said, Chicago. Nagy and Trubisky are going to be your combination next year. You know, for me, first off, the Bears are better, closer to the top than they are the bottom.
Yep.
So they don't warrant a tear down. We need to rebuild the team. No, they might need to retool a few spots. But man, as a whole, the team has a lot of good things about it. You know, Nagy, where 5 weeks ago would have gone, I don't know about Matt Nagy and Trubisky, but it just shows you Nagy was able to adjust. That makes me feel better about that.
Yeah.
He was able to adjust to a quarterback who needed the adjustment because this fits him better too.
Right.
And, you know, we just went through if we bring Nick Foles in a quarterback, we'll be better. So what, are we going to do that again? Maybe if you know you're going to get Matt Stafford, okay, fine. Then maybe you want to part ways with Trubisky. Cool.
Right.
But I'm not parting ways with Trubisky unless I know I have some slam dunk. I know he's better.
Yeah.
Right? I know it. Oh, Matt Ryan's available? Okay, we'll get him. I'm just throwing out. But
you would go to the offseason, unless you could get the number one big ticket item at quarterback, you would go into the offseason saying, we're good there. Let's focus elsewhere.
If they show that they'll continue to play this style of football and build around that, Trubisky can win you games. He can do it. I mean, he's already gone 12-4 in 1 year. It was only 2 years ago.
Right.
You know? So, yes, I would say that. you keep everything in Chicago the same. You don't tear it down. Nagy showing he was able to adjust, and the fit of Trubisky in that adjustment, to me, saves everybody.
Whether you call it an adjustment or a response, a team that loses six games in a row, comes back and wins three in a row, they're one win from the playoffs. A lot of credit to the head coach.
Definitely.
And as for Trubisky, percentages up, yards per completion up, attempts per game up. Makes me go back to, I think it was 3 weeks ago, it was recently, we're talking about Carson Wentz maybe going to the bench, and I asked you, can you think of any high-round pick that has been sent to the bench to sit and watch for a while and came back and was better off for it? And this
Here
is one
is.
Of our... Here's an example.
Definitely. He's you know, one, they adjusted the offense, good. Yeah. But two, you know, I've been in this situation too. You sit there on the sidelines and you go, well, I'm making this way too complicated in my own brain.
Right.
I mean, I'm thinking about every coaching point and everything that's going on in the world. And, you know, when I'm playing my best, I just go, hey, he's open. I'm going to fucking throw it to him.
Right.
Bam. Oh, coach says it was a great decision. Yeah, well, he was open. I don't know. So, I forgot where my point was going to be there.
You were going to say, next time you host a show by yourself, you'll be better.
But Nagy, too, we do need to give him credit. You know, I've been hard on Matt Nagy with his offense and stuff. I've liked everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, I hear from people there. He's got a great way with the guys on the team. You know, I've met him a few times. He's a man's
really
man.
Really likable guy.
You can tell he can command a room.
Yep.
There's everything about him on that aspect I've always liked. I just was always critical of his offense. And, you know, he's changed that and said, screw you, Chris Sims. I'm better than you think.
And now he's getting some help calling plays, too.
Yeah, well, definitely. And Bill Lazor added into that. And then even with this, with the change in this and all of this, I still want to see Matt Nagy bring in another fresh offensive mind into the building this year. And give them some more ideas of, hey, this guy's been in a ground-and-pound type offense for a long time. What can you add to us in Chicago here? Whether it's somebody from the Tennessee Titans or just one of these great running teams where he can go, man, I stole like 10 ideas from this guy, and now I built off of those 10 plays. I built 10 plays off of each of those plays. And now all of a sudden you got some great offense. You know, I'd like to see that.
Amazing what December has done for the Bears.
Seriously.
And they're in. We'll see if we're still talking about Chicago.
I hope we are.
Right?
I'm rooting for Chicago to get in. I'm just saying that right now.
How could you not?
I'd rather see Chicago than Arizona. I'm sorry. It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
I think it's just the Bears and the Nagy and the Trubisky thing.
Yeah.
And I just want to see them in it.
How much fun is it to have a game at Soldier Field the last week of the season, Bears-Packers, to be this meaningful?
Right. It's fun for everybody except
league,
probably the Bears fans. Because they're like, what, Aaron Rodgers is coming to town? No.
Right. All right, Steelers and the Browns, another significant game. Interesting one in the sense that Pittsburgh has said we're kind of this chase to be the number two seed.
Yeah.
There's not the benefit that comes along with that. There used to be. So they're the division champs no matter what. They're in the playoffs no matter what. Ben Roethlisberger is not playing. That changes it quite a bit. For Cleveland, at 10-5, they win and they're in for the first time in 17 seasons. Week 6 feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh hammered the Browns 38-7. You think about then, you think about now. Aside from Roethlisberger being out, what's the biggest difference?
Well, okay. So when you go to Pittsburgh's offense, all right, the first thing I would say is back then there was a little semblance of a running game in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
There was. They had a running game. I mean, in that game itself, James Conner ran for 100 yards.
Yeah.
And some games leading up to that, there was, you know, some impressive running numbers. Not that you were blown away, but you went, oh, there was a running game.
Pete's throwing these up. Check it out.
Well, yeah. Well, to me, it's where it gets to the point where I think in my notes at one time, I just went, what happened?
That's like, unbelievable.
Where did it all change that it all just got, like, lost out of control and we just went to throw the football? You know, James Conner got hurt, you know, so he was out a little bit. Vance McDonald, their run-blocking tight end, he was out of Eric Ebron, his bread and butter is not run blocking. And I think between all those things, that's probably what got them off of the run game.
Not even half the production they had in the first seven games. Not even half.
It's where it's crazy. And really, the game I thought of right off the top of my head was the Ravens game the second time around when, you know, the Ravens were dealing with COVID. And that was the game where I just went, man, it seems like Big Ben's changing the run play to a pass play every play. Like, it's an RPO. He was going to throw it. You know, here they're going to run. And he all of a sudden he started signaling the receivers. And you're like, oh, he's changed it. I don't know if it was a pass already. But to me, that's where it really got out of control, was the Ravens' second matchup. But, you know, to the point of it is this. You know, this time around, now it might be a little different with Mason Rudolph at quarterback.
Right.
But there's not the run game to worry about. And the Steelers have gotten worse at blocking the run game. There's really nothing you can sit there to jump at. So, you know, again, I think there'll be some run now because of Mason Rudolph. I think it actually stinks for the Browns that they're going to have to worry about that. I think they would have been better off if they could have just gone, oh, Big Ben's playing. They're going to throw the ball every play.
Right.
They're going to throw it every play. Now we can let our pass rush go, and we can just play pass defense, pass defense, pass defense. In the first game, they overplayed the run too much and too many times where I just went, you're not getting gashed right now in the second quarter to where you should be so worried about this that you're going to leave a backup corner one-on-one with Chase Claypool. And he's going to run an out and up for a 50-yard gain down the sideline. Or, you know, the next series, it was an out and up with James Washington against the same corner. You know, I think they overplayed that a little bit to where that's where they'll be able to adjust this time. Where, yeah, maybe we're playing, looks like we're playing run defense, but we drop out and we play all coverage and do that type of stuff. But the hard thing now is, I don't know the exact offense you're going to get from Pittsburgh with Mason Rudolph.
Right.
That's where it's really tough.
Who do you think is going to win?
I mean, now the Browns with the COVID-19 stuff of today, they left the facility today. It's concerning. I still think that the Browns are going to win the football game. I do. I think if I'm the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, I would err on resting just about everybody.
Right.
You know, they need their defense to be big time in the playoffs. Their defense, you know, I would worry about being worn out without the bye week this year. And then they don't play a lot of people in their front seven. That, to me, I would just go, yep, it's all right. We don't care. Buffalo, you can have the number 2 seed. We'll be the number 3 seed. We just know we got to be healthy and raring to go when it comes playoff time. So that's why I picked the Browns. But I'm a little concerned with all these issues they got.
There's some unknowns, some real unknowns you brought up with Pittsburgh. No Roethlisberger, depending on who else they sit, what kind of attack, what kind of offense they're going to have. We do know that Baker Mayfield's the quarterback for Cleveland.
Right.
Interesting, Chris. I remember talking about this game with you when it happened. 38-7 loss. He struggled through 2 interceptions. 9 games since, he's thrown 2 picks total. I can't think of a quarterback who's changed his production as much in the last 2 months than Baker Mayfield.
No, I don't think so either. And it really does. It kind of starts right here in this game where I feel like it changed around drastically after this. And I think it changed for Cleveland altogether a little bit after this, where I think they got into, you know, wait, we're too good at running the football. Our O-line is too good. We're just going to start imposing our will on people, even when they play run-stopping defenses. Screw it. We're going to do it anyways. They were stuck. To me, the first issue they had in this first game was the approach of their game plan altogether.
What was it?
They kind of came out like, you can't match up with our receivers across the board.
And he's going to throw it all over.
We're going to get in the shotgun.
Yeah.
I don't know if Baker was totally comfortable with the run, bootleg, play action game yet.
He was so kind of banged up in that game,
he
too.
He might have been banged. He hit the rib. Yeah. Exactly right. You know, and I think, too, they were probably going, wait, Baker's always been in the spread and the shotgun. So they were trying to kind of keep that alive to make him feel comfortable. And I think at that point, too, they were just going, I don't think these Pittsburgh corners can cover Odell and Jarvis Landry and
that. They had Odell then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like, first drive, you know, there was the pick 6 early by Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
You know, Baker threw that bad interception later in a passing situation that was stupid when he was rolling the right and somebody intercepted it there. But, you know, the biggest thing to me more than anything is it's like they weren't totally sold on their ability to be able to run the ball and the bootleg game yet. When they did it during that football game, it actually was successful. You know, it really was. The bootleg game was there. And as we're seeing, even though the run statistics weren't good, the bootleg game's good whether the run game works or not.
I mean,
that's proven in the NFL this year. It's proven. And in fact, sometimes when the run game isn't working and you come out and do boots, all of a sudden that helps the run game get going. And, you know, that was the thing that I just feel like they weren't totally committed to that aspect, let alone, let's not forget this, that was a different Steelers defense then. With Bud Dupree and Devin Bush, they were better. They're not that good right now. They're not as dominant as they were at that point. But I think it's a totally different Cleveland offense, more efficient, better at running the football, and Baker knows how to play within the confines of the offense like not even in the same universe to where then to now.
Yeah.
Right.
We haven't really seen that offense that we're talking about with Cleveland being so much better the last 2 weeks against the Giants and Jets. It's been a lot more about the pass, and they haven't been scoring points.
Right.
53 passes last week against the Jets. It's hard to even use that one, though, with the lack of firepower they had out wide and the players are missing up front.
And I'm sure that Jets D line is
good.
I know. Is good.
Right.
You know, they are. They're good. Also, you know, what happens too is, you know, it was a double whammy. One, your players get knocked out of the game on Saturday.
Right.
You're stuck. Like, your game plan's in.
It's hard to read too much into what happened last week.
I know. I wouldn't read too much into it.
Yeah.
I think they came out thinking, I think they thought, hey, we're going to have to throw the ball on the Jets a little bit. They wanted to do that. Oh, wait, now our receivers are out. The Jets were all about stopping the run anyways, and now the receivers are out. They were like, whoa, we're really going to stop the run. So it just wasn't that way, let alone I think Cleveland got stuck in, okay, we can't run the ball. They're not scared of us throwing with these guys. They kind of had to go to the pass game, let alone I wouldn't be shocked if that was truly the plan of attack when they got on the plane Saturday. And that's why, you know, they called some receivers up from the practice squad. I think they tried to run their intended game plan,
right,
which was come out and throw the football and do that and then maybe loosen them up and run the ball. But because of that, they came out, threw the football, had no success. The Jets never got out of their run defenses, really, and it just didn't work. And, like, you're right, don't read too deep into it.
So if Kevin Stefanski says, we're going to get back to the early December Browns offense, scored 83 points, back-to-back games, Baltimore and Tennessee, that game – a game plan based off of what they did early in the month would be more about what?
Just the pure run game. I mean, you know, to me, what, you know, Nick Chubb, them, their tight end sets, what they do there. You know, again, I don't care if it's boots or runs or whatever, but that's their formula. That's who they are. They're like the better version of the Vikings that way or whatever. And, you know, within that right now, too, Baker's so good at playing this style like we talked about, but he's – you know, now he's confident. He feels good. The ball's coming out of his hand good. And this is what I talked about with my dad on Monday, too, to now where even in the drop-back pass game, he's making better decisions now because he just feels better and more confident. And when, to my dad's point, what he said on Monday, when you throw the ball awesome, you become a better decision-maker.
Right.
Oh, he's open by a little. Okay, I don't know. I'm throwing it great. I'm going to throw it in there. Bam, got it. You don't second-guess yourself. You know, when you're throwing the ball poorly – you go, oh, he's kind of open, but I don't like throwing this route.
And now he's not.
And right. Or now he's not. And now let me go to number two.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, you were supposed to throw to one there. And now you went to two, and he was never open. And that throws things out of order where, you know, right now he's feeling it. But, yeah, their run game, that offensive line, that is special. And I would lean on that heavy, big time, you know, this week. That game back then got out of hand. It wasn't the right approach. Then he had the turnovers, and it became a game that, you know, just doesn't fit the Browns' style. Oh, we're down 17-0. We're down 24-0 against the Steelers and their pass rush and Blitzburg. Like, good luck. You're not going to win once that happens.
The lack of production that Baker had in that game and the turnovers plus Odell being out, almost like it forced them. It was so bad to really do something completely different. And that's the multiple tight ends, more from under center and all that. It's been a very nice change for them.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Get
ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Yes.
Okay, thinking about this Pittsburgh defense that has to stop them, let's, with an assist from our friends here at PointsBet, let's take a look at the Defensive Player of the Year odds provided by our partners, not just our friends, at PointsBet Sportsbook. Loaded up with some Steelers, and T.J. Watt is the favorite right now, leads the NFL 15 sacks, 41 quarterback hits, ahead of Aaron Donald. You agree?
No, I don't. I like T.J. Watt. He's awesome. No, I don't think he's Aaron Donald. No, I know he's got what? He's got a sack more than him right now,
he
or a sack 90, and a half?
93 quarterback pressures.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. What's Aaron Donald's quarterback pressures at?
No, Aaron Donald has 93.
Aaron's 93.
He has 93.
He has 93, right.
It's a huge number.
You 93 mean, without Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt and Bud Dupree for more than half the year, where you can't double-team them. There's no great pass rusher on the Rams. They have good players up there, but no great pass rusher that you're like, we have to double Leonard Floyd or double Michael Brockers. No, they're really awesome football players. Not taken away from them, but they're not that. So TJ gets that advantage.
Yeah, he has 73 quarterback pressures.
So there's 20 less.
Yeah.
Now, I will say in TJ Watt's defense, too, he does drop into coverage. You know, they play, you know, a lot of 3-4 type stuff to where he will. And that takes away probably his, you know, pass rush attempts.
Right.
He's an awesome football player. He's awesome. But I don't know. I would Aaron Donald would still be
my
favorite.
You could also come back on the other side and say, well, he's rushing from the outside. It's a little easier to get those pressures too, right?
No doubt about it. Yes.
And how about Xavien Howard, Miami corner? We saw him on the list, has 9 interceptions. Little pop quiz here. Okay, the warm-up for quarterback Jeopardy.
Okay.
So his 9 picks, most since what Bears quarterback who also had – Bears cornerback, I'm sorry.
Right.
Also had 9 picks in 2012.
2012?
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Bears corner.
2012. I mean, I want to just – I automatically go to Charles Peanut Tillman.
Be the easy one.
Right. And that's not correct, though.
I think he was opposite of him. Pete? Yeah, opposite of him.
2012.
He was there for a while. I think an SEC guy. I believe.
Damn, I'm blanking on this one. Hold on.
Also played for the Colts later.
Oh, you're killing me here. Killing me. You're killing me,
Smalls. Pete had the tone that might have been his last assist, though.
I think, okay.
I think
good.
He's emptied it.
Who is it? I don't know it.
Tim Jennings.
Tim Jennings. Damn, I wouldn't have got that. That's
9
right.
picks.
Yeah, Tim, good player. Really good career.
Pete says he started with the Colts, not went to the Colts.
Okay, he started
there.
That
cost him, Pete. That cost him the
No, I would have never got it. At no point did that name register in my brain. So that's it. But... You know, Xavien Howard, all right, first off, you know, Pete will tell you, last year I said he's
You've been talking
the,
about him
Well,
for
I've been
a
talking
while.
About him the last 2 years. Last year people were like, oh, you're crazy. How many top corners do you have in your top? Like, what? Well, I don't know. I've only said a few. Xavien Howard is special. He's special. He's like a Marlon Humphrey, like a Jalen Ramsey, you know, like a Jair Alexander. He is without a doubt in the conversation for one of the best corners in football. So I get that. You know, he deserves to be up there on the list. Who was the other one? T.J., Aaron Donald, Miles Garrett was
Miles
up there,
Garrett
right?
Miles Garrett was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I have no problem with that either. I like that. I think Aaron Donald's the leader for me.
You think people are just getting tired of saying he's the best?
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of
that. That'll actually be a thing with the voting?
Yeah. I think it's a little bit, you know, it's like Bill Belichick could win Coach of the Year. Michael Jordan should have been MVP in the basketball for 12 years in a row.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think there's a little bit of that aspect where you just – You want to give it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's the number one defense in football, the Rams. And he is the best defensive player in football.
It's hard to argue against that one for me.
Now, last thing I want to say, too, about Brown Steelers, because you just talked about these Steelers guys and Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick's on there. And, you know, Cam Hayward's on the list. They got 3 guys on the list. We didn't hit this. This is the number one things for the Browns football team. And we don't know who's playing yet. But the first thing is what they made the mistake of in the first time around. Browns offense, don't let the Steelers defense win the game. Don't let them win the game. The Steelers have shown they are offensively challenged. But they're a lot better when their defense gives them the ball at the 5-yard line or has a pick six or it starts doing that. When you do that, you almost have no chance against the Steelers. Part of playing the Steelers team as a whole is just go, we're going to punt sometimes. Mm. We're going to throw it away. They've got more freakish dudes, bad mofos, than just about anybody in football. They're going to make plays. You better be fucking careful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing I'll say to them.
Run the ball more.
Run the ball more.
Right.
Don't be afraid Baker Mayfield on bootlegs or it's third and
throw
seven.
It
throw it away. Go down and take the sack. Don't dance around and think you're going to make a play like Lamar Jackson did on the 8-yard line when he played them. And then, strip sack fumble. We lose the ball. They went down and scored a touchdown. That's a 14-point swing.
Right.
Don't do that stuff. That's part of playing the Steelers.
He's clearly gotten a lot better at that.
Definitely.
As I mentioned, only
Definitely.
Two picks last 9 games.
Yeah.
So maybe some throwaways to lead the punts
right.
would be good decisions this weekend, too. Let's go to the NFC West.
Booyah.
Cardinals and the Rams. This game looks a whole lot different than we thought it might
yeah.
with the quarterback situation. But for the Rams, they win and they're in, or they can also get in if the Packers beat the Bears. And as for the Rams, as for the Cardinals, that's a true win and you get in.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Okay. In the NFC West, Seahawks have already wrapped that one up. They're in, of course. So let's start with the Rams offense. We've talked about it a lot here the last couple of months with Jared Goff being up, then down, and then down some more. Now he has the injured thumb. He's out for at least this game.
Possibly
the playoffs
right.
if they make it. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, the Cardinals, I want to make sure we get this right just for the people listening.
Yeah.
The Cardinals win and in, not for sure, right?
I think the Cardinals win and in.
Oh, win and in. They are. I'm
yes.
wrong. I'm sorry.
That is
I'm sorry.
Correct.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I forgot that part, if they had the tiebreaker with the Bears or not, so I'm wrong there. Sorry, my bad.
No,
all
it's
right.
okay. It's
so good we got the
scenarios.
Graphic
yeah.
up. I know. There is a lot of scenarios.
So for everybody listening and not watching, Cardinals win and they're in. Rams win and they're in. But if the Rams lose, they can also get in
if
the Bears
loses.
Lose
right.
to the Packers. So we haven't really said – at least on the podcast I've been on, should Sean McVay bench Jared Goff? But now with the injury, he won't play. It's John Wolford playing for the very first time in his NFL career.
Right.
What do you think this offense is going to look like now?
I don't think it's going to look a lot different. I don't. You know, why? What has to look different? The ball off, boots?
It's so hard to know because we haven't seen this kid play.
No, I know. You know, all I can do is what I saw him in the draft a few years ago. I did see him in the field at Notre Dame Wake Forest a few years ago.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
he played a pretty good football
think?
Game. He knows how to play the position.
Yeah.
He's a decent little athlete, so
yep.
the boots and all that are going to be fine for him. He has control of the football. It's not going to be wow plays, but it's the Rams. They don't need wow plays. We know that. I mean, it doesn't take wow usually for them to move the football.
But they're banged up at running back now.
That is going to be a key to the football game. There's no doubt about it. That hopefully Cam Akers can come
yeah.
back and play.
I mean,
that's what I think we're hearing or expecting or either way. Like I said, you know, Monday, you know, I don't think anything's going to change as far as the approach of the Rams offense. The only thing that I think might change is might not be as much leeway at the line of scrimmage or tempo offense where McVay can, you know, tell Goff the package of plays he might be thinking of. Hey, I bunch right. And then right away, you know, Goff knows at the line of scrimmage, wait, bunch right, he's programmed me for 6 plays, all right? We got 98 bunch crunch. We got 200 jet smoke. We got all these plays that I know to get to in a hurry to keep the – like that stuff might go away with a younger quarterback.
Probably should.
Probably should.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's where false starts happen, miscommunication happens. He gets in the wrong play because he's nervous and hasn't played football. So you fucking just call the play and you run
yep.
the fucking play I
right.
called. That's what we're going to do, John Wolford. And I think that can be a winning formula for the Rams, especially after what I saw from their last matchup there back in week 13.
Right. A couple of things I
yeah.
read into this, and again, without having seen the kid play, it's tough. But number one, Sean McVay, I mean, he is a true quarterback guy. He knows how important it is to have not just a decent player,
yeah.
and Jared Goff has been, you can argue what he's been, but the fact that he's been leaning on this guy as his backup, that he knows, hey, my backup is a play away, and he's had this person there that the entire season. He must have some pretty good confidence built up within an organization.
I definitely.
Has to.
No doubt.
So that's number one.
If you
for
read
me.
The quotes, too, about some of the things that like the Rams have said over the last 2 days,
yeah.
it shows you that a lot of the players, what they've said,
probably
kind of
excited.
Are excited to see what he has, too.
Right.
Not that they're expecting like superstardom, but I think they've seen enough in practice. At least it reads that way to me to where they're like, this could be okay.
Exactly.
Right.
And number two, And this is going back a ways, and I know Wake Forest football isn't up here, but he won the starting job as a freshman. And anybody who does that to me as they move on, that says something about the level of confidence, level of balls a kid has.
No doubt.
And you know he carried that to the NFL.
Right.
So if he was good enough at age 18 to beat out some upperclassmen, multiple upperclassmen.
Yeah. I mean, there was quarterbacks that left Wake Forest.
You know he's built upon that now a few years later.
Definitely. Agreed with you on all of those things there. He's played football. And, hey, to your point, you know, they didn't bring back Blake Bortles.
Exactly.
That kind of just says it all. You know, whatever I think or anybody thinks of Blake Bortles.
Would have been an easier move.
Definitely. It just shows you that there was real confidence in this guy that, hey, we don't care. Blake Bortles has been an AFC champion. Like, this guy can run the offense. And, yeah, obviously they thought he can run it better than Blake Bortles. So, you know, that I think says a lot in itself to your point. I think you're spot on there. And with what I saw in that first matchup too, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This is a game where early on in this football game, they tried, you know, because Arizona's not real big up front. They're not big. They're a speed team. You know, they don't want to play in a phone booth. They want to play spread. That's what they see in practice. Mm-hmm. They got all these linebackers that are fast and Buda Baker and all that. They want to be a nickel and dime and run around and tackle you and play that type of game. They're not meant or built to play phone booth football. Big boy, big pad football. That's not what they're meant to do. Early in this game, I think the Rams got a little scared off from what they usually do because the Cardinals try to scare you with numbers. All these guys are at the line of scrimmage, and you're just like, oh, I don't know if I really want to run the ball into this look. And you think you're okay, we'll throw it. But they did a good job covering in the drop-back pass game, the Cardinals. I never really saw people just coming wide open. I mean, they have pretty good cover guys. And, you know, like I said, Vance Joseph, if he feels like you are going to throw and do those things, he can do some creative things on the back end. To me, where the Rams righted the ship is when they just got back to doing what they do. And specifically in 12 personnel. Why? Because the Cardinals aren't a good big people team on defense. And that was where I think the game changed, in my opinion. Not that they killed them in the run game overall, even though they ran for 119 yards on the day. But they at least got in the two tight end set, Paul. The running game was effective. The Cardinals could never cover the bootleg game the whole game. The whole game. It was they had issues with the guy coming behind the line of scrimmage coming out in the flat or the guy coming out behind the line of scrimmage out in the flat and now the other guy who blocked down to make it look like the run and now he sneaks out that door too, right, behind the guy in the flat. I mean, they never had an answer for that. They could never figure out how to cover the guy in the flat, the guy that's coming behind him in the flat, and the crosser behind it. They couldn't figure that out.
And can we assume that Walford, even though we haven't seen him play, is going to move better in the pocket than Goff?
I do think so. I don't think a movement, like all that, they should be totally fine with their bootlegs. And then, you know, listen, Walford's going to make some mistakes or whatever, but, you know, I've never been a fan, you know, of Jared Goff and his feel within the pocket.
Right.
But if this becomes a drop-back pass game, the Rams are going to lose. I could just tell you that. That would be my first assessment. If they go, again, it's crazy because how many teams run this offense right now. But, again, if it stays within the boots, the play actions, you keep two tight ends on the field with Higbee and Gerald Everett, it really put the Cardinals in a problem because they couldn't stop the two tight end run game. So they had that issue. And then what happened was, here comes base defense. Mm. And then McVay would call empty. And would call empty, right? And he'd make the tight ends be on the outside, and he'd bring the receivers in the inside. And now the Cardinals are playing a zone defense, and they got Devondre Campbell or one of the linebackers matched up with Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods. And that's why Goff and McVay tore them up. 12 personnel, ran the ball, bootlegs, base defense is in, empty, you're big, we like our chances, and that was really the key to the football game.
Maybe Cam Akers being healthy is more important to them getting back to that than Jared Goff being healthy.
I think so. Yeah. I don't mean to disrespect. Obviously, they're better with Jared Goff.
I know how
Goff.
You feel about that offense. Yeah.
But, no, the running back and the running game are the thing. The Rams are a defensive running football team. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. That's why McVay's probably going crazy right now because he's like, my quarterback just needs to fall on the ground and stop throwing interceptions, right, and we would have won some of these games. And that's the issue they have right now. Now, if Walford, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over and they stay to that plan of attack, I think they'll beat the Cardinals.
What do you think of the Cardinals' offense? I know they're hopeful to have Kyler Murray back. He's got the lower body injury. Sounds like there's a good chance that he will. But if he doesn't play,
yeah,
what would that look like?
Well, I don't think
Chris Streveler is the backup.
Right. Chris Streveler, who, you know, has some ability. I think he's the backup probably because of his running ability. Mm. And they probably feel comfortable with that where they feel like, you know, hey, you're not Kyler Murray, but you throw the ball pretty good. And now we can do some of the Kyler Murray running stuff and use that to our benefit as well. I don't know. I was surprised Brett Hundley wasn't named the guy,
yeah,
just because he's played already
more
in the NFL, more,
yeah,
experience. But obviously there's something, you know, Kingsbury sees in Streveler. Maybe he just feels like he can run his offense more, mm-hmm, within him. But if there's no Kyler Murray, I'm worried.
Right.
Their team is too Kyler Murray-centric to begin with. That's my issue with them. And, of course, it's an issue altogether. Now,
it'd be hard not to be with his talent, though.
I know. I get it. Now, yeah, they need to change, you know, again, you've heard me say this before, but the Cardinals, it just can't be so predictable. It can't. And they fell into that trap in this football game. They come out early in the game, and they got in some two tight end sets and do that, but then it goes away, and it's shotgun four wide receivers every play. Like the Cardinals, you can't play that against the Rams. The Rams are the fastest defense in football.
Right.
They're dying for you to get in the spread. Oh, so why? There are four fucking machines up front can start rushing the passer, and they can drop 7 and 8 into coverage every play, and then they got Jalen Ramsey who can lock down your best receiver. So they want that. They really match up well with the Cardinals, and that's where the Cardinals have to change something up. They have no chance. They were dominated in this game. I know that says they have 28 points. I get that. They really had one legit drive the whole game. That's all they did. They blew a coverage on the first drive, the Rams. That led off to a big, the Arnold 59-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
They blew that coverage. Then their next touchdown drive to get 14 was their best drive of the game, and it was work. They had to convert a 4th and 11 to continue the drive. It was, nothing was easy. Then the next touchdown came off a muff punt from the Rams, and it was a 15-yard drive. They ran a ball up the middle, and Kenyon Drake scored. So they struggled moving the ball on them all day long. I don't know how that changes unless it's almost the same thing where I'm going to go, you need to make the Rams play against your 2 and 3 tight end sets.
Mm.
You need to make them play a little phone booth football. It's not much different. The teams that have beaten the Rams have played phone booth football.
Hmm.
If you really get the Jets, the 49ers, it's been all about, we're going to be right here. We're not going to get into a speed game and a space game with Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd and Jalen Ramsey. We're going to play smash mouth football.
They'd probably be more likely to adopt that philosophy if Streveler was playing.
That's
right?
Where it's interesting, because with Streveler, they might not feel as good about him throwing the ball over the lot.
He's certainly not going to run. He might be a good runner. He's not going to run like Kyler.
No, not going to run like Kyler, but maybe they call more quarterback power design runs and things like that. He is a powerhouse, this guy. I mean, he's got like some set of ass and legs on him. This is not like your normal quarterback, to where I think he can – he could take on a linebacker and be like, I'm going to win this one. Mm. So, you know, in some ways it might be effective versus this team, but I think this is a real issue. I just don't see how Arizona wins this football game. I really don't. I think that's, and, you know, here, I'll write my synopsis here. I just wrote, too predictable an offense, never gave the Rams anything to think about, okay? You know, not going to beat the Rams in spread football. You heard me say that. It's probably the fastest defense in football. They prefer that style. You got to play, make the Rams play big boy football and play in a phone booth like we talked about. The Rams played a lot of five-man fronts, so Kyler Murray couldn't run around. They tried to take passing angles away, rushing angles, scrambling angles away from him, which is even more concerning to me, because the Rams don't want to play five-man fronts. They don't blitz. They know they're good in the front four. They want you to sit there and hold the ball for an extra second,
right,
in coverage, and then I've gotten killed by Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
That's their style of football. With this, they took the chance of getting the extra pass rusher, I think also because they went, we got this pass game. We know where they're going to go. When the slot goes out, this guy does that. When this guy does this, that guy. I think Brandon Staley was very comfortable with having one less guy in coverage to go, I still got it covered. No problem. And the other thing they did in certain situations, too, was they took away his ability to scramble to the right. That's the one thing I see consistently with the people playing the Cardinals right now. Don't let him go right. And then when he comes left, they always had Leonard Floyd or Hollins there to be the guy that runs him down. He fumbled late in the football game because he couldn't get away from Hollins. So those are the things that are concerning to me. I know I talked a lot there. I'm sorry.
No, we have some pictures you might like here.
Yeah.
Chris Streveler, you mentioned his physique. Some revealing shots here. Okay, so he played in the Canadian Football League. Here he is celebrating a Grey Cup. That's not the Stanley Cup.
No.
That's the Grey Cup,
That's the
right?
Grey Cup, yes,
okay.
It is.
Yeah.
Whoa. Got some abs.
Yeah. Got a
you
nice
can see
beard.
That? He's got jorts on. And he's always crazy because he's wearing no shirt and jorts in Canada in the middle of, well, I don't know what time. The Grey Cup's actually like October, though, right? But
For coat, big gold chain.
He's country gangster rapper over there. I like the look. He's obviously got a little personality to him. There's no doubt about that.
How could you not want that man running your offense, Chris?
I would be interested to see what it looks like. I really would. You know, I studied a little coming out of college. I've only seen highlights of what he did in Canada and all that. And I know Pete told me on Twitter and stuff, some of the Canadian fans out there are getting all over me because I didn't give him enough respect.
I've heard that.
But I would be interested to see what it's going to look like. But I have a hard time thinking there's any way or there's no way Kyler Murray doesn't play this football game. I would be shocked by that.
I want him to wear that fur coat to the game. You know, like they always show quarterbacks walking into the locker room.
Yeah.
Wear that getup.
That'd be
sweet.
Oh, with the no shirt and the gold chain? That would be amazing. That really would. But mobility for the – this is last thing here. Mobility for the quarterbacks, Arizona running, going to be big. Just running the football has to be a thing in this football game. The Rams' offensive line – cannot block.
That's a problem.
The Cardinals' offensive line cannot block the Rams' defensive line. Excuse me.
Yeah.
They cannot block them. So if you're just going to get into a spread, we're going to throw the ball every play, they're going to lose. They've got to change it up. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know what it's going to be. But they have no chance from what I saw in that first matchup. It was total domination. And if there's not a drastic change, it'll be total domination again.
Are you ready to talk some NFC East?
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do this year.
No.
Okay. So one game left of the regular season. We're going to focus on the Cowboys and the Giants. So this one really is so tied into what happens at night between the Washington football team and the Eagles. If Washington wins, they win the division they're in. But if Washington loses Sunday night, the winner of this game, Cowboys-Giants, will get in. I'm starting here with the Giants' offense because it concerns me a lot. And Anastasia Williams via Twitter says, can our Giants score – with his invigorated Dallas offense. It's been 13, 6, and 7 points in the last three games. We've scored 30 points once this season. So Giants, Cowboys, let's start with your concerns or any kind of confidence you can give anybody about the Giants right now.
Well, the greatest thing about just is let's talk Giants offense versus Cowboys defense first, right? The greatest thing about this and the Giants offense struggling is, you know what? The Cowboys defense is coming to town. That's great. I mean, there's nothing
news.
You would like better than to have the Cowboys because they're not good. And the Giants, you know, listen, Daniel Jones' health is that is a thing here. The Giants need him to be able to run the football a little bit, just a little. You know, his ability to keep the ball off the read option and things like that, that's when they were at their best all year long, running the football, doing those type of things, because you worry about that, and then, of course, it helps out their running back and their normal run game. It really is a thing there. Now, the Giants' offense, it's not going to be, like, anything special. No, I don't think we're going to get to 30 points this week. But
can they get to 20?
I do think so. I think they can. Yes, they got to get to 20. At least, I think, to win the football game. I don't know if you can sit here and – I don't think I can sit here and just go, oh, they'll stop Dallas to under 20.
Yeah.
That's not – that's for sure. I don't know about that one. But, can they get to 20? Well, again, that's where I would go a little bit with the Daniel Jones. Is his leg okay and all of those type of things? This Cowboys run defense stinks. Mm. They should be able to overpower them up front in a lot of different ways, you know, in any different way they want in the run game. They struggle against all running schemes. Whether it's inside zone, pulling guards, whatever it is. I went back through my notes of Dallas all year. They can't do any of it. Their linebackers, they're not good at power running football. They don't know how to play the scheme they're playing either. So running the football is going to be the key of the game for the New York Giants. Their passing game is not going to win it. But
they did stop the Eagles last week when it mattered a lot.
They did.
After an initial surge?
Sure.
They came back and shut them down?
They did. They did. But you know what? I think, too, the other aspect of that, I think a little, and it wasn't a shutdown. You know, again, the Eagles moved it down there close to score. It was 30-17, and they were in the, you know, in the red zone. But I think Daniel Jones can give them a little bit more to worry about in the pass game than the Eagles can. The Eagles very basic with Jalen Hurts right now. It's run-centric. Oh, it's one-on-one, bam, do all that. Not that the Giants are going to reinvent the wheel or anything like that, but I think Daniel Jones is clearly a better passer than Jalen Hurts right now, to where you'd have to worry about that aspect a little bit more as far as defending it and doing that. But I think the Giants have a clear advantage up front. There's not great size and that Cowboys defensive line, and their linebackers are not the stoutest run-stopping group ever. To me, that's where it's got to start.
I'm going to keep coming back to this though, Chris. Yeah. I mean, since Thanksgiving, they haven't hit 20 points.
No,
it's not just in this losing streak. Even when they were finding ways to win, they weren't scoring.
No, they're not. They're going to have to play a certain style. We're going to get to their defense and what they're going to have to do here in a second, too, because it's going to be about their defense going to have to win the game. You're right. I don't know if I trust the Cowboys. I mean, and the Giants' offense, I mean, versus the Cowboys. But when they won football games, you know, they ran the football, they played through their defense. Whether they beat the Seahawks, the Philadelphia Eagles, that game, Washington football game, none of them's been pretty at any point. You know, they're run the ball. Oh, it's one-on-one with Darius Slayton. Cowboys have nobody that can cover him, and they should just make it as simple as that all game long. It really shouldn't be any different. You know, the Cowboys are going to have to go, we have to play man or single safety because we can't stop the run.
Right.
We can't do it. And at that point, that's when you can be able to play one-on-one football. You know, it's a hard game to go back to. There's a lot of different things about both teams. You know, the Giants, they were still learning the Jason Garrett offense.
It was week five. Yeah.
Dak Prescott was playing for the Cowboys.
Right.
There were some different defensive linemen on the Cowboys that were playing then that aren't playing now, which I actually think should make the Giants the Cowboys have lost big people.
Yeah.
So they should be able to run the ball, you know, at will more this time around than they did then.
It's hard to find too much relevance in that. I mean, it was a fun game, minus the Dak getting hurt. That was awful. But 37-34 was a good game.
Yeah,
so
way
long
too
ago.
Many passes in the first game.
Yeah.
Way too many drop back passes. The Cowboys can rush the passer. They're not that bad in that department. That's
right.
To where I would go, let's be careful of that. That's where, to me, the Giants need to play a Seattle Seahawks-type game here that they did that game. Run the ball a few throws here and there, and hope our defense can play really good on that end and win the game that way.
I think you've given Giants fans a little bit of hope, and offensively that hope has been tough to come by with how you set up how they ought to attack the Cowboys' defense. Let's go other side.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton has been really good recently. The Cowboys have won three games in a row. Cowboys' offense on Sunday against the Giants' defense, advantage who?
I think this is a close one. The Cowboys pose problems because of the weapons they have at receiver. The Giants are not going to be able to match up with all those guys. There's no way. They can't match up with Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper across the board. There's no way. The Giants, the first game, a little like we talked about with the Bears versus the Packers, kind of tried to play of like, we're going to try to stop a little of everything. Mm-hmm. And they stopped nothing. They stopped nothing. The Cowboys were able to run it and throw it and do it. You know, at some point, you just got to go, we're going to stop. You can't do this. You got to prove to me you're going to do something else. The Giants' secondary, their defense, you know I love it. It's well coached. The secondary's not super talented, so they don't have the corners that are going to be able to play man-to-man and match up and do that type of stuff. They got to find ways to protect their secondary. That is the biggest thing. They need to be able to play two safety defenses. Mm. And to me, this is where I get in back into the Seattle game plan. They did a lot of that against Seattle. So they play five-man fronts and bare fronts. And they – sorry, my mic fell.
It happens.
They play a lot of five-man fronts, bare fronts, stop you from thinking you want to run the football. And then it would be set hut, and they drop back into a two-deep coverage, right? That was what they did constantly. To me, like – they got to go all big boy football up front. And I mean Dalvin Tomlinson at, you know, 315 pounds, Dexter Lawrence at 345, B.J. Hill at 315, and Leonard Williams at 315. That should be your starting four. Play that right there. And just go, we need you big boys to stop the run because we can't cover them on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to keep two safeties back.
And what should the Cowboys' response offensively
well,
be?
Well, you're hoping within that that the Cowboys are going to go, well, we're going to run the ball if you're always going to play two deep safeties, right? That's going to be their response because they're going to go, wait, we can't let them do this. But this is where the Giants have to do it because one of the most special things about their team is their size of their defensive line. And I think they can hang in there. And if you could do that, play bare fronts, play the big people up front, you know, you could play four down, you know, five down fronts with a linebacker on the weak side to where, yeah, he's there for run. Okay, now Seth Hutt, he drops back into coverage, and he's the will linebacker in Tampa too. You can do certain defenses where it's, hey, stop run, but we're really in a pass defense when it's all said and done to stop it. And I think that's, to me, that's how the Giants have to play this football game.
Does it line up in what the Cowboys want to do based off the fact that Zeke is coming off his best game of the year?
Coming off his best game of the year, but it wasn't a dominant game. It was the last two drives, really the last drive of the game.
Some empty calories
well,
there?
Well, just a little bit, yeah. Right. You know, they caught the Eagles going all out to try to stop them, right, because they knew they had to get the ball back.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get one little crack in the seam and you're gone because everybody's trying to run blitz or make the negative play or get the strip so they can get the ball back. So they busted a few runs like that. I'm not ready to sit here and go, well, the Dallas Cowboy run game's back. No, it's not. And I would like that's the where I would go if I'm the Giants. I would go, wait. One thing we know that he can hit Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. We know that.
Yep.
We haven't seen the Cowboys just impose their physical, you know, run game will.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. So, again, in a game where you might feel you got to stop something, and to me, I would play stop Andy Dalton in the pass game, and you prove to me, bunch of guys who I don't know on your offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys, that you can move these big fuckers off their spot
right.
And do that. And I think that's the Giants' best chance to win the football game.
It's amazing that they both have the exact same stakes they're playing for. And, again, if Washington wins that night, it doesn't matter. But the Cowboys' three-game win streak, they scored 108 points. Their offense is moving along well.
It is.
Three-game losing streak for the Giants, they've scored only 26 total points. It's a crazy number this time of year.
It is. And, well, the Daniel Jones injury was of course, a big part of that. That was a big issue. So you can't forget that. That's limited them. And that worries me about this football game in general, too.
Yeah.
It does. You know, if he's you know, last week, again, you could tell he's not 100%. He can't move the way he wants to move or do any of that.
Right.
But to me, that's the way they're going to have to play this game as a whole. And I would think their run, you know, and they're going to have to rely on their run. That's the other thing. You know, everybody is running on Dallas. And we saw the Ravens, they pulled guards and whooped their ass running the ball that way. You know, I saw the Washington team on Thanksgiving never pull a lineman and just do inside zone and zone cutbacks, and they just gashed the hell out of them. They should be able to run the football and kind of play that style of football. It's all going to come down to, like, what we just talked about. Can they stop CeeDee Lamb, the receivers,
right.
And all that? And I would just say, hey, you got all these big people. Let them do it themselves. Play pass coverage.
One fun question here from Twitter. We love the handle, @SimsHomies. As a Giants fan, is it better to make the playoffs and learn to win or better to get a top 10 draft pick?
Well, let's see. I mean, if they win, first off, I right off the bat, I want to say win, get in the playoffs, start to establish a culture, you know.
Get Daniel Jones a playoff game.
Get Daniel Jones, the whole organization a feel of it. I don't care. Who gives a damn, you know,
right. Whether
you're 6-10 or not. It's a great experience, and you're still going to be able to say you went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, so there's
the
that
division.
Aspect. And really, I mean, how much is it going to hurt their draft chances? I guess it's going to hurt it significantly because if you're in the playoffs, you end up going to the bottom 12 no matter what, as I'm talking to myself here and figuring that out. No, I would still say I'd probably rather go with the playoffs.
I would think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And division winner into the playoffs, get Daniel Jones that experience. I think that would be a win every time.
Mm-hmm. No
okay,
doubt.
Playoffs significance and scenarios behind us.
Booyah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
for the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
He's his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
Quarterback Jeopardy, up and ready to roll.
Let's do it.
All right, so this is a college football playoff edition.
Ooh.
So all the questions and answers are about Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State quarterbacks.
Okay.
Okay.
Gosh, don't bring up that Clemson quarterback you brought up the last time when my dad called in.
Who was that?
The guy that got drafted in 1979 or
whatever. Fuller.
Steve Fuller, right.
Did that stump you?
I didn't get that one.
Your dad got it, though.
Your dad got it.
The old man got it.
Right. Right.
Old man's not here to save you now.
No, he's not.
Okay. 100 points. Nick Saban has led Alabama to 5 national titles with 4 different quarterbacks. Which quarterback won 2? 5 national titles for Alabama under Nick Saban with 4 different quarterbacks. That means one of the guys had to win 2.
Right.
Which guy has
okay.
2?
Okay. Yep. All right. So Tua didn't win 2. We know that. I don't think it's McElroy. It's you know... I'm blanking on his name. I know this.
You're
pretty
picturing
sure.
Him.
Well, it's the backup for the Houston Texans.
He's onto it, Pete.
And I'm just
there.
I'm gonna pull his name up. I mean, I'm cheating. AJ McCarron.
There you
but
go.
You know
That's
who I'm
not
talking
cheating.
AJ
yes.
McCarron, right? Yes.
You
Boom.
Got one.
Hey, suck it, Pete. I got one.
Pete was worried you might not get
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Don't listen to Pete. The hell with him.
Vegas over under is though too.
Okay.
So
thanks, Vegas.
Now you need one more.
All right.
200. This Clemson quarterback was drafted in 2006. In 11 NFL seasons, he threw 11 touchdown passes.
Oh, Charlie Whitehurst.
2 for 2.
Bam!
Already hit that in 1,000.
Do you know who you're messing with?
I do.
I'm a historian.
I did say to Pete when we were battering back and forth, yeah. I said, I think he'll get the first two.
Okay.
Next
so
three,
this is where you're not sure.
Next three, I'm not so sure.
All right,
sure.
I'm nervous.
Okay, 300 here. Ian Book, second all-time at Notre Dame now for quarterback career rushing yards. The quarterback in first place led the Irish to their last national title.
Tony Rice.
3 for 3.
Bam.
I did not see you getting
Number
that.
Number 9, baby. What?
Yeah.
Come on. I was in, yes, I did work Notre Dame football, but.
I don't I was.
You know, I would say one of my most first memorable college football seasons as a young child, right? Because I was always pro-oriented.
Yeah.
So that was always on my radar. But that 88 Notre Dame football team,
yeah,
I think was the first year as me as a young Chris Sims where I was like, man, college football, this is amazing. Like my mom, she was always into this. She started to get me into it.
Yeah.
And I could still remember watching Tony Rice in Notre Dame versus Rodney Peat in USC.
Yeah,
I think it was a 1-2
yeah,
matchup
Epic
that
Coliseum,
year, right?
That, yeah.
I mean, that's putting chills in my spine right now just thinking about it because I feel like I can remember hearing
We were
like,
such fans then, right?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
And then it was Keith Jackson. He's like, oh, Nelly,
right?
Notre Dame's coming out of town to play the USC.
Sold-out Coliseum,
oh,
sunny.
Man. Good days, good days.
Do you remember the national title game in the Fiesta Bowl they
Major
played against
Harris?
West Virginia?
Yeah.
I swear, Major Harris could throw the ball like 90 yards. Remember
he
that?
Probably could, yes, yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
I think I he played in Canada.
I think he did, too, for a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Number 9.
Number 9, too, right.
For 400 points, in 1991 at Iowa, we went to Columbus. Late afternoon, ABC kick, Musburger, Dick Vermeil on the call. Both teams ranked in the top 10. Name Ohio State's starting and backup quarterback that day.
1991.
It's not as obscure as it sounds just because of
my life.
Yeah.
Because of Graham and Kirk Herbstreit.
There you go.
Right.
Kent Graham.
Kent Graham. I would have got there.
Yeah,
Kent Graham, Kirk Herbstreit.
He's feeling confident, Pete. You know, we talked about Baker Mayfield's decision-making gets better as he's throwing the ball better.
I'm throwing it good.
He's
the ball's coming out of my
hand
clean.
This 500-point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, just
points.
One more time. Fuck you, Pete. 4 for 4.
it was up yours earlier. Now now
we're into fuck you.
Elevated to fuck you. 500 points. This quarterback started his college career as a punt returner, eventually became the starting quarterback as a two-year starter, never lost a game at home. After his senior season, he was drafted by the Miami Dolphins and the Minnesota Twins.
Hold on. Start that all again. Yeah. Just one more time. Sorry.
Okay. There's a lot going on
here.
There was
a lot going
on. It's 500 points. We don't just give away
the
500
points. And I was
still
thinking about how good I've been doing, so I didn't even hear the first part.
Get a focus. Okay. This quarterback started his college career as a punt returner.
Okay. Yep.
He eventually became the starting quarterback, two-year starter, never lost a game at home. After his senior season, he was drafted by the Miami Dolphins and the Minnesota Twins.
Okay, so hold on a second here. This is a good one. So he started as a punt returner. You're laughing because it's like it's one I'm gonna know, right?
This is a good time to remind everybody and you, Mr. Yeah. Confident, you've never hit all five.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Questions, that is.
All right, wait. So Notre Dame. Oh.
This could be Notre Dame, Clemson, Bama, or Ohio State. Remember.
And he was,
those four are in play.
He was drafted by the Dolphins.
Drafted by the Dolphins and the Minnesota Twins.
And did he play in the NFL?
Pete? Yes.
He did play in the NFL?
Yep. If you need another hint, I've got one written down here.
Damn, it's killing me because I just feel like I know I'm going to know this, and it's driving me crazy.
Do you need the hints?
But he played quarterback for 2 years.
At his school.
At his school.
Well, he played quarterback the whole time, but
right.
he did his first time playing on the field was as a punt returner.
Holy crap.
He was a punt returner as a freshman, eventually won the job,
mm-hmm.
was really good.
Right. Okay.
Multi-sport athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Ohio State. I don't remember anybody.
I didn't say it was Ohio State. It could be.
I'm just going running through. I don't remember anybody in Ohio State running through, being in that.
Wasn't Stanley Jackson.
No, I know. Not Stanley Jackson. I know. What I'm worried about, I'm trying to think of like, Troy Smith at first, some of those names. But
right.
I don't think it's them.
Yeah.
You know, Clemson did like a.
They had a long run. Looking back through, they didn't have a quarterback drafted.
They didn't.
Long run.
Okay.
Might have been Fuller to Whitehurst. Taj Boyd was after that.
I'm going to say Joe Theismann.
Out of nowhere, you got it. Were you hanging on to that the whole time?
No. Just came to my head at the last second. I can't think of a guy that was a punt returner that was ever a quarterback, and all of a sudden I thought of Joe Theismann, and I went, he's been a punt returner.
Wow.
Yes, and I had no idea he was drafted by the Dolphins. That's what really screwed me.
This guy takes back every bad thing he ever said about
I doubt he does. In real life, I don't know if he does.
He said, had I known Chris Sims would have got 5 out of 5.
Booyah! On the day you said, I don't know if they'll
get any.
He gets 5.
Saved it till the last one of the year.
Damn, the Jets can't beat the Rams.
I didn't even get to use my hints, which I was so proud of.
What was it?
He's a Jersey meathead just like you.
Oh, that would have led me to Theismann, probably. Yes. That would have. Jersey meathead with a big mouth. Yeah, that's Joe Theismann.
I wasn't going to say
just
that.
Like me.
So, like, I'm a little bit proud and a little bit disappointed.
Oh, because now you're like, I didn't make it hard enough?
Kind of like when one of my sons says something he shouldn't, but it's
right.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Kind of disappointed. Kind of want to high-five him.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about you right now.
All right, good. I like those kind of emotions. That's good. You're not certain about me.
Pete and I will tuck our tails between our legs.
Ooh, baby.
Go home.
And that is how you end a podcast presented by Verizon. Chris Sims Unbuttoned, a.k.a. The Historian, goes 5 for 5. Paul Burmeister, you man. Thanks
defeated.
For leading the charge
you
today.
Got it.
Seriously, good talk. Hope everybody learned something. Throw it out there. Hey, I mean, listen, next week it's playoff football. It's going to be all about these matchups, what teams do good, bad, everything like that. We're really going to get into the nuts and bolts of all that. Please, questions. I need them. We need the material. Send as many as you want. We love it. It gives me more ideas. Everybody be good out there. Enjoy the college football games. That's going to be fun to watch this weekend. Enjoy the playoffs. Most importantly, Happy New Year. Everybody be safe and healthy. Happy New Year. Peace out.
See you. Joe Theismann.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up?
Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.